Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, 16th chapter of the book of Luke. As you find your place, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to start reading at 16th chapter Luke, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. Desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again today for your grace, your wonderful mercy toward us, your wonderful love. But Father, we know also you're a God of justice. Lord, you do what is right always. And I thank you, Father, this morning that you've promised to be here with us and not leave us nor forsake us. And this preacher needs your power and your wisdom this morning. And Father, we all need to be attentive to the word of God this morning and what it says. And I ask you, Lord, to have just the perfect will of God done. Do in our hearts what needs to be done this morning. And Lord, should there be any here that's unsaved, that doesn't know for sure if they died, they'd go to heaven, Father, we pray that this will be the day they allow God to deal with them and convict them of sin and come to Christ. Now, we once again, we thank you for your goodness and kindness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. The scripture that I just read to you, of course, out of Luke, the 16th chapter, is not a parable. Some people want to call that a parable, but there's no indication whatsoever. It's a parable. It's a true story. It's an individual here about a rich man and a man named Lazarus. And we find that in this story that the rich man died and went to hell, and the Lazarus died, went to Abraham's bosom. That was a place where they was kept until Jesus died and rose again from the dead, and then he took them up to heaven with him. But we see here this story of this man called the rich man crying out for help. Crying out because he was tormented in the flames. We're going to preach a message this morning. Hell, can you let me out of here? We're going to preach a message that I hope will help us to understand the horribleness of hell. I wish, and from my standpoint as a preacher, I sure wish that people would just take this as just some story and don't really consider the fact that hell is real. There is a hell. It's burning and it's hot and it's forever. That's the Bible. That's the truth of the Word of God. But let me offer something to you. There's also a heaven, and it's a wonderful place that God has prepared for us if you put your faith and trust in Christ. And it's a wonderful, wonderful place, and it also is forever. In fact, I think next Sunday morning we'll be preaching a message. You know, this morning I'm preaching hell. Can you let me out of here? And next Sunday morning I'm going to preach a message which I've entitled Heaven. Can I really stay there forever? And I hope you come back next Sunday morning and hear not only the negative side of it, but the positive side of it. There's a wonderful place called heaven, and God wants you to spend eternity with Him. Amen? So anyway, we're looking here at a place called hell. I'm going to turn over to 2 Thessalonians. You don't have to turn there if you don't wish to. I'm only going to read a couple, three verses. First chapter, listen as I read. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You notice God says he's coming to take vengeance on them who know not God. Now, let me say something to you. God wants you to know him. See, it's not something that's hid. Through Christ, he wants you to know him. But if you do not know him, he said, that did not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, did not accept the gospel, did not believe upon Christ, he says, they shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Now, folks, listen to me real quickly, all right? That's not the preacher saying that. That's the Word of God saying that. That's what God said in his Word. You can believe it because God said it. Everything that God said is right and proper, and it is true. Amen? So let's remember that. And he says, and you'll be destroyed. He said, destruction from the presence of the Lord. Think about that. We'd be away from the Lord, the presence of the Lord, for eternity. Now, that's going to be awful. You may not understand that now, but to be out of the presence of God for all eternity, that is an amazing thing, and that is a horrible thing. Do you get a hold of that? So what we want you to understand is hell is real, and it's a horrible place, and we're just going to try to share some things with you this morning about it. I want you to listen. I'm going to be reading portions of Scripture, or just giving you descriptions of what God says about hell. You're not going to be able to turn to each one of these. I just want you to listen to me. You see, the Bible describes a place called hell. Over in Matthew 25, verse 46, he says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now, did you hear that? Now, remember this. What I'm reading to you is God's Word. All right? What I'm reading to you is God's Word, and he's describing a place called hell. He calls it everlasting punishment. Amen? Get me your attention, please. Okay? Don't pay attention to that. Okay? Everlasting punishment. Now, that's what God called it. In Matthew 25:41, he calls it everlasting fire. Okay? I just want you to hear me as what God describes hell. All right? It's everlasting fire. In Isaiah 33, he calls it everlasting burnings and devouring fire. Now, that's what God calls it. Over in the Revelation, the 20th chapter, he calls it the lake of fire. Has anybody ever been out to see the ocean? Everybody, I have. Have you seen the ocean? It's a wonderful thing. Have you ever been around to see a lake, a large lake? Listen, imagine that being a lake of fire. Now, that's what God said. Okay, it's a lake of fire. Also, in Revelation 14, he tells us that they're going to be tormented. These are the ones that have received the mark of the beast number of his name. He says they will be tormented with fire and brimstone forever. Okay? Got a hold of that? Then also in Matthew, the third chapter, it called the unquenchable fire. It is impossible to put it out. I had some of my grandsons was out yesterday helping me. We had some brush there that we burnt, and we got it all burned up, you know, and after a bit, when it was all burned up, it just went out. The fire was gone. But this is an unquenchable fire. It will never be put out. Okay? Never, ever be put out. We find in Matthew 25 that God originally prepared hell for the devil and his angels. It wasn't the intentions that men would go there, but they are going there because of the rejection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as their personal Savior. Okay? Then in 2 Peter, the second chapter, and also in the book of Jude, the Bible tells us that demons and fallen angels are reserved there in everlasting chains. Can you imagine that? I wouldn't want to be where the demons are, the fallen angels are. That's the wicked demons. I wouldn't want to be there, but God said they're reserved there in everlasting chains. We find also in Revelation, the 20th chapter, we find that the punishment in hell is eternal. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The Bible tells in that verse of scripture, the devil's going to be there. The false prophet's going to be there, and the beast, which we're going to be preaching on him tonight, the Antichrist, will be there. Now, do you want to join that illustrious crowd? You hear what I'm saying? Now, this is serious business, and they're going to be tormented forever and forever, everlasting. We find also, the Bible tells us in Psalms that it's the home of the wicked. He says, the wicked shall be turned into hell. We find also in Matthew 5, the body and soul will suffer in hell, in a place of everlasting burning. We find in Revelation 19 again, we've already covered that about the beast, the false prophet, and the devil will be cast into the lake of fire. I mean, cast. The Bible tells us over in Revelation 20 that those whose name is not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast. They'll be taken and cast by the angels. I mean, thrown into the lake of fire. Amen? That's not funny business. That's eternal. That's forever. And the Bible says that the wise will avoid it. Listen. The way of life is above to the wise, and he that departeth from, and that he may depart from hell beneath. In other words, a wise person will absolutely prepare not to have to be sent to hell. They'll prepare, they'll receive Christ as their Savior. A wise person will get ready to meet God. Over in the book of Proverbs, parents are told to correct their children to keep them from hell. Listen to this. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. You say, Brother Ross, how is that? God tells us to teach our children, to correct our children, to discipline our children, so that they'll learn also not only to hear mom and dad, but also to hear God when he speaks. So that they'll put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, so that they'll be saved and they'll escape hell. Amen. That's why it's good to discipline children and to correct your children and make them mind. See to it that they mind. Why? So they'll mind God. So they'll mind God. And when God calls them unto salvation, when they're old enough to understand, that they'll mind God and they'll receive the Lord. They'll believe upon the Lord. Amen. And then also in the book of Jude, he tells us to keep others from a place called hell. And he says, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. It's our responsibility, our job, is to see to it that people hear and understand the gospel so that they can be saved. You see, people may get tired of hearing us. They may get tired of us telling them about it, but it's our job to do so. We're to tell people about Christ so they'll escape this place called hell. Now, you heard me read in the book of John, the third chapter of the book of John. There's no person ever, anybody can ever let you out of hell once you're there. Do you understand that? You see, that's what he said in John, the 16th chapter. He said, let Lazarus, come over here. He said, no, there's a great gulf fixed. Can't go either way. Once a person is in hell, they're there forever and ever and ever. There's no escaping it. Do you understand that truth? Sure. And it's a forever and it's everlasting. So there is no escaping. One day, in fact, it was back in 1998, Don and I went over to Cracker Barrel at Terre Haute, and we eat dinner over there. And that they advertise the fact that they're a two-way store. They're half restaurant and half store. I like to go to the restaurant, and Donna likes to go to the stores. Any ladies in here like to do that? Amen. You like to go and shop in that place called Cracker Barrel. But I walked in there, and all at once something said something to me as I crossed the way, and it I stopped and listened, and it was one of these little gadgets, and I'll show it to you. It's this. I don't know whether anybody ever seen one of these or not, but I got this at Cracker Barrel, and it's a crate. It's a shipping crate, okay? And it says on it, do not freeze, do not use hooks and air freight, and handle with care, and all kinds, do not drop, and all kinds of things. And what it is, it's got a little eye. You see that little eye? It's the eye of somebody looking out of that thing. And here, I'm going to let you hear what it says.
Excuse me. Can you let me out of here?
And I thought that was the neatest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And so I began to play with that thing, and I just kept hitting it over and over and again because I enjoyed it, you see. And so I said, well, they wanted $10 for that thing. And I said, I'm not going to pay $10. It has to be pretty good before I depart with my money. And so I said, I'm not going to pay $10 for that. But we got away from there, and the Lord continued to work on my heart to go back and buy it because he wanted me to preach a sermon out of this little gadget. And what he's saying is, excuse me, can somebody let me out of here? And so I went back and paid my $10 and got my little gadget, as you can see. And God laid it on my heart to preach a message. Can someone let me out of here? And we preached this in 1998, and it seemed like the Lord had instructed me to preach it again today. I just want you to listen very closely for a few minutes, because I want to tell you something. Hell is real. Whether you think it is or not, hell is real. And also, once you're in there, it's not like this crate. Somebody could let this little fellow out of this crate. But there's no one can let us out of hell. No one. And I'm going to just demonstrate that in a moment. So I purchased this. And I preached a message on the subject, hell. Can someone let me out of here? I think something. I believe with all of my heart that there would be everybody that would be in hell today would like another chance to get out. Don't you believe that? I think everybody has friends and people they know and who care about us. I believe that, some to more degrees than others, but we have friends. And if we knew someone was in hell and there was some way that we could get them out, I think we'd do everything we could to get them out. But there is no way. But I think about, and that's what I want to stress this morning, I think about family. I have a lot of friends and a lot of people I know. But I just want to tell you something. Family's very special. Every person out here, isn't your family special? Isn't there something about your family, your children, your moms and dads and grandma and grandpas and those kind of people? They're special. And I just want to share something with you this morning. I'm going to start off, and I want you to use your imaginations just a little bit with me this morning. I have 6 brothers and 2 sisters. We have a family. I came out of a family of 9. And when you grow up in a family, those people just are very special. I know you battle sometimes, and I know you you kid around. I know our kids, when they get together, they just go at each other, something terrible, and one always remembers something a little different than the other one remembers it, and they're just having fun. They're just funning around and having enjoy, because there's a special draw, there's a special love there for family. And I was thinking about it. So use your imagination a little bit with me this morning. You imagine, let's just say that you had a sister or a brother in hell. They had never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So the brother, if he had an opportunity, would say to you, you remember the years that we grew up together. You remember the fun times we had? And I think probably everybody that has brothers and sisters can remember back and had good times together. You remember the time, sister, that I fought for you, I protected you. You remember that? And you remember when I took the blame for something that you did? You remember that? So all of you go back and kind of remember times like that. And remember when I took you with me, sister, when I didn't really have to, but you wanted to go, and I said, well, just get in and go with me. You remember, brother, you remember when I told that little cute girl how cute you was and how nice you was, and it'd be good if you would like him. You remember back in those kind of days? You remember those things? You remember the times I used to slip cookies out of the house for you when mom wasn't looking and giving them to you? You remember when you did some things that you should not have done and I did not tell mom and dad about it? Listen, brother or sister, I've got myself in a fix. I'm in this place called hell. And it's burning and it's tormenting in this flame. Brother or sister, and the answer would have to be, no, I cannot let you out of here. You did not receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You refused to be born again. And I absolutely can do nothing to get you out of here. You know, we grandpas and grandmas, I think, are pretty special people. Maybe not to you, but I think to grandsons and granddaughters we are. And I don't know about you, but if I had a grandson or a granddaughter that was in hell, I don't know if I truthfully could, I guess I'd have to, but be able to stand that. I remember too many good times with my grandchildren growing up. I remember the times over at Wilford, when my grandkids would gather sometime on the day that I had to go haul water. We haul water over there, and they'd get all in my truck, and they'd get in there and sit in there, and they'd go up there, and I'd let them put the money in the meter, and take care of that. And then we'd always have to go by the store and stop at the Coke machine. Just had to do that for some reason. And all the grandkids would go and get whatever they wanted out of the Coke machine. Grandpa thought that was a big deal. And so anyway, I remember those wonderful times. I can remember back some sweet, precious times. I yesterday had 4 of our grandkids over in and out over at our house, and from in and out, how they do. And that to me is joy. There's just something about grandkids. that are special. And you know, if one of those would be crying out to this old preacher, this old grandpa, and saying, "Oh, grandpa, I've got myself in a fix. I'm here in this place called hell, and I can't imagine that." You know, grandmas, you know, I remember back when I looked out the window one day, and Donna was, when we lived there at Wilford, there's a big old puddle of water out there, and I looked out there, and here was grandma out there with a stick, and there was Daniel out there with a stick, and they was marching through this water, popping the water, you know, and they was barefooted, just going through this water. They was having a time of their life. See, I remember when she used to work puzzles with them and read books to them and sing songs to them. I remember those things. I remember when they used to sit on her lap and she used to fix their hair and kiss away the hurt when they got hurt. Can you imagine if a grandchild was crying out and saying, can you just use your imagination just a little bit and think of the fact that they may be a grandson or a granddaughter in hell wanting to get out, and the answer would have to be from grandma and grandpa, "I'm sorry, I cannot help you. You refused to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You refused it. And there's nothing I can do to get you out of hell." I think you could reverse that thing, and maybe a grandson or a granddaughter, a grandpa or a grandma would be saying to them, "You know, I've got myself in a fix down here. You remember how I treated you as a grandson and a granddaughter? I treated you well, and we had fun times together, and we done a lot of good things together. And here, grandma and grandpa's down here in a place called hell. Can you do something? Can you?
Can you let me out of here?"
Grandma and grandpas all over this country are refusing to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. They get older, they get hard set in their hearts. They don't want to change their lives. And so they end up in a place called hell. And there's absolutely no one can get them out of there. Not one. You know, I think about a wife who's lived with a husband. My wife and I have been married for 48 years now. I think about a wife that might live with her husband for that long and never get saved. She's trying to get her husband to help her to get out of a place called hell. She might say, "You remember the good times we had together? You remember how I cooked your favorite food? You remember how I used to have iced tea waiting on you when you come in the door? You remember all those things, and remember how I used to fix my hair just like you wanted it? Remember how I wore that dress that you liked so well? You remember? Remember, husband?" And a husband could say the same thing to a wife. "Remember all the years we spent together? We had good years together, and you remember how I worked hard and provided for you and bought you that house and done all of these things for you. You remember I was not always everything I should be, and I was kind of crude at sometimes, but you know, you remember all those good things I did. Listen, I've got myself in a fix down here.
Can you let me out of here?"
And the answer would have to be, "You refuse to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You just absolutely refuse to do it. And you didn't get saved, and I cannot, absolutely cannot help you." I think about daddies and mommies and sons and daughters. I think about that a lot, and what's going to happen in eternity. I don't honestly know. I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't honestly know if I thought one of my sons or daughters was in hell, that would be one of the hardest things ever to accept. Because the love that we have for our children, they've been very special to us, and I'm saying the same thing to you. Your children are special to you. They're precious. And to think that one of those would be in hell, or vice versa, a daddy or a mommy would be in hell, and the children maybe rode the bus to church and got saved. What if they would call out to us? They have not that ability, but what if they called out to us and asked us if we could just help them? We've got ourselves in a fix down here. We're in hell and we don't know what to do about it. Can you? I don't know. I don't know how if I you would take it, but folks, listen, children are special, and I wouldn't want them to be in hell. There's something that God allowed us to bring into this world, and to not teach them about Christ and see to it they hear the word of God and are taught about Jesus Christ is something that's inexcusable. It's inexcusable. And vice versa, daddy and mommies. When them little sweet children have over and over invited you to church and asked you to come to hear the gospel and you refused. I'm just gonna say to you, you know, family relationships are special. God could do it. That's who. We're depending on man, but God could get us out of this place. And I think we would appeal ourselves to the Lord and say, you remember, you're the one that created me. You remember, God, you're the one in the Bible that I read that you are love. You remember that time that I went to Sunday school 3 weeks in a row? Before I got saved, I have a string of pins that hang this far down, 8 years in a row that I went to Sunday school enough to get a pin where I didn't miss for that many 8 years, and I was lost as I could be. God was not impressed with my Sunday school attendance. You remember when other kids got baptized, God? And I just went ahead and got baptized too. Wasn't that good of me to do that? That's what I did. Remember that time I helped the lady across the street? God, that's a good thing. Remember the time I went over and mowed the neighbor's yard? God, you remember that? That's good. That's good of me to do that. Remember that time I put a $10 bill in the offering plate, God? Now that was really good. That was good that I done that. Remember that time I gave the preacher a ham? Remember they gave it to me at work and I had another one anyway, so I just gave the preacher one? Wasn't that good, God? Remember, God, you said in your word that you were love. You remember the few times, Lord, I read the Bible? I mean, I sat down and read the Bible. Remember when I even prayed when I wanted something, God? I prayed. And remember, God, I never did talk bad about you. Once in a while, I'd let something slip. Speak of your name in vain. But, God, that wasn't too bad. I want you to listen. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. I want you to listen to me. There is not one work of righteousness that you or I or anyone else could ever do that'll get you into heaven. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works. Least any man should boast. Amen. There is nothing we can boast about, no works that we can accomplish that would ever get us into heaven and keep us from hell. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. Now listen, that's what Jesus said. There's only one way to heaven. It's through him, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Not by any work that you would accomplished, but through Jesus. Except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. There must be a time in your life when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone and repented of your sins, saw yourself that you was a sinner, that you're lost. and sorry for that, and come to God and ask God for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of Christ, and he'll wash your sins away and give you eternal life. But there must be that day. There must be a new birthday. It's what God says. God said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Doesn't mean you believe that there was a Jesus Christ, but he is who he said he was. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior. He's the one that died on the cross for your sins. That's who he is. Amen. And you must believe that, not in your head, but in your heart. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now, what would God say to us if we appeal to him with all these good works that we have done? He would say to us, you remember that time that I sought you? You remember that time I sent a Christian to your door and he knocked on your door, or she knocked on your door, and you said you didn't have time? Or you told that Christian you didn't believe the way they did and you don't want to hear it? Or that you wanted time to think about it and yet you never did? God would remind you of the times that he's tried to get you saved. You remember the time, I think he would say, when I sent you to church to hear a preacher preach the word of God to you so that you could hear the gospel of Christ, and during that service you laughed and you mocked and you goofed around most of the service, not paying any attention to what the preacher was saying. To you, it was all foolishness. And yet that was God Almighty sending you, putting you into position to hear the precious Bible, the Word of God, that you might be saved. You remember that gospel tract that someone handed you that gave the gospel of Christ, and you threw it down or refused to read it, threw it in the trash? You see, God would simply say to us, I've sought you. I've give you opportunity. And we refuse to listen. You see, I want you to listen real closely and I'll be done. Real quickly, just listen close. Can anybody let you out of hell once you're there? Absolutely impossible. Impossible. Here's the gospel. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means me. That means you. Do you believe that you truly are a sinner and come short of God's glory? The Bible also tells us in Romans 6:23 that the penalty of sin is death. And that means the lake of fire, not just physical death. That means the lake of fire, Revelation 20, the lake of fire forever and ever and ever, where they'll be cast into the lake of fire. That's the second death. Amen? You see, but thank God that God has provided his Son, the Lamb of God, to be our sacrifice. God provided him. See, it says in Romans 5, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God did not look down and see anybody worthy of salvation. He didn't see a one of us that's worthy. We're sinners. But he loved us. He loved us and sent his Son to die for us so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. And we could spend eternity with him in heaven. Amen. So what do, Brother Ross? You trust in Christ. You depend on him to forgive you of your sins and to change your heart and give you everlasting life. Get your dependence off of self and onto Christ and him alone. Amen. Admit that you're a sinner. Tell God you're a sinner. Let God know you know you're a sinner. And ask God to forgive your sins. And as the Bible says, for as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. When you receive Jesus Christ, you put your faith in Christ and Him alone. He gives you power to become the sons of God. In other words, when your faith is in Him, you become a child of God. Amen. Now, I want to ask you where your faith is. Now, you say, I believe in God, but listen to me. The devil, the Bible says, believes in God and trembles. It's not just a belief up here. It's a belief down here. It's a belief in the heart that you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone that you might be saved. And I'm asking you this morning, would you consider this? Would you look this over? Would you check it out with God? Are you for sure, 100% sure, that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Can you say that in your heart? I know I'm saved. No doubt about it. I know I'm ready to meet God. And if not, don't you think it would be a wise, wonderful thing to do today to put your faith and trust in Christ, to come and let us take God's word and show you the way of salvation, which we've already presented, and show you how to be saved by putting your faith and trust in Christ? If you'd be willing to do that, we're going to invite you to come this morning, so that you won't have to do this.
Can you let me out of here?
Well, that's real. You understand me? That's real. And it's eternal. And it's hot. And we don't want you to go there, but more important than that, God doesn't want you to. Now, are you saved? Would you bow your head, close your eyes? Just bow your head and close your eyes. I want to say before I ask you these questions, I am not in any way ever going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call your name out. I'm not going to do any of those things. I just want to pray for you. You say, Brother Ross, I know for sure today. I know that for sure, without any shadow of a doubt, that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Would you just raise your hand, please? Thank you. Thank you so much. Say, Brother Ross, I'm not sure. I am not sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned about that. I'm really concerned by what you said this morning. I don't want to be in a place called hell. And I'm concerned about it. Remember, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to do any of those things. You say, Brother Ross, would you please pray for me because I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you just raise your hand? Put it back right back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Someone else, please. Raise your hand. Put it right back down. Someone else. Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you. I'm going to pray. Father, I certainly thank you so much for the wonderful, wonderful grace of God. I thank you for your kindness to us in providing a way of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit of God that deals with us and convicts us of sin. And I ask you, Lord, to do the work that only you can do this morning. Those who have raised their hand and just simply said, you know, I'm just not sure I'm saved. I ask God that you extend that, Lord, into them being willing to step forward and accept Christ here this morning. Get that all settled so that, Father, when they go home today, they'll have assurance of their salvation. And we're going to thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.